Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too. They crossed the
Friends, this segment is made possible by Platinum Cadillac and Chevrolet in Terrell, Texas. Stop by and visit with my buddy Mr. Justin Rudd and his team of experts, and let them put you in a new Chevy pickup or a Cadillac or whatever you might be in the market for. Also, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma. Check them out at ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Also made possible by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, friends, let's saddle up and head down to beautiful Cedar Creek Lake. Now, if you're listening to our show live on the radio station this morning, you probably know where Cedar Creek Lake is. It's about an hour maximum southeast of Dallas, right out Highway 175. But if you're listening on a podcast, that's where Cedar Creek Lake is. Mr. Chris Webb is our buddy down there, guides for crappie and sand bass. And I thought it'd be good to shift gears away from a little bit of hunting. Maybe not all the way away from hunting, but talk a little crappie fishing. Chris,
how you doing?
Folks,
good, how are you, buddy?
Oh, we're good. Folks, you'd get a kick out of Chris. I mean, we're recording this. He's been in a bow stand, hunting, and saw some doe and whatnot. And I said, look, we have to quit talking about deer just for long enough to talk about crappie. So, Chris, I have been looking at the Facebook pictures. Tables, that's the current term, tables. I mean, tables of fish. The tables that you've been showing on Facebook are covered with crappie, and some nice ones, too, that I've been seeing, you know?
Yeah, the quality this time of year is outstanding. It's some of the best big fish fishing of the whole year.
Yep. I wonder why. It seems like every year in the fall, the big, I guess they've just, more of them are mature. I don't know why, but it seems like bigger fish crappie are caught in November, December, you know?
Absolutely. I just kind of assume the big ones, the older ones, know winter's coming, and they know to put the feed bag on and fatten up.
Yep. Well, so some tips, some crappie catching tips. And friends, now Chris is talking about Cedar Creek Lake, but I think, Chris, that you'll agree whichever lake you're fishing with a good population of crappie, the information you give would be just as good in West Texas as it would in Arkansas, I would think,
Absolutely.
Patterns.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I learned a long time ago, I reported fishing for the Dallas Morning News for about dang near 15 years, and I learned real quick after a while that patterns is what people, that's what helps people. Not so
Absolutely.
Much, not so much what happened at 205 in a cove somewhere, but what's been happening the last week or two. So tell us, here we are in November, approaching mid-November, so what pattern, what do you think is going to be happening the next month, say?
Yeah, I tell you, as the fish make their way to the shallows or back the shad or headed up the creeks, I'm looking for pinch points on the way back, Most of my active fish are at the mouth of coves, on points, on steep ledges. We're catching most of, if all, not all of our fish in probably, 12 to 20 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to triggering the bite is pitching it out and letting it slow fall, or just a real slow, steady raise. Those two techniques right there, those fish either want that bait raising or falling. And on average, we're probably getting, on most piles, we'll get 3 to 6 fish. But if you can find the right pile, we've had a couple days, these last couple trips, where we've fired up 25, 30 fish on one spot, and it's been really good.
And are you keying on, like, brush or, standing timber? What kind of structure?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it seems like this time of the year you can catch them on laydowns, but those fish really love something vertical.
Mm-hmm.
If it's sticking up right now, it is loaded.
So if I were in a boat on one of the feeder creeks there at Cedar Creek or Lake Fork or wherever, Lake Brownwood, wherever I was at, go back up in the creek a little bit. And if I found a sharp turn in the creek with a shallow ledge and then dropping on down into water, say 15 to 18 foot deep with some brush on it, That's the kind of place I'd want to fish.
I tell you, I'm not going all the way into the creek yet.
Yep.
There are some fish that have already made their way up there.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of getting at the mouth of the cove that leads to the creek.
Okay.
And finding the first deep drop in there.
Okay. Okay. I wonder.
I'm probably halfway back to the front.
Okay. I got you. I wonder why they like water that's shallow close to deep. Maybe, I don't know, maybe just their trawler maybe following the bait, you know, on a situation like that.
I definitely feel like it has a lot to do with it. It's also got a lot to do with the, you know, they can slide up shallow early with the low light penetration.
Mm-hmm.
And then as that sun gets up, they can slide back down into that good oxygenated, deeper water. It kind of offers them everything they need. They're not kind of pinned into one little area.
So they're not like in a big open water, deep flat, where all the water is 18 foot deep or 12. They've got a choice, you know.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you one thing I've always found interesting. Look, my buddy Lane Palmer, when he was still with us, he saw on Discovery one time that sharks will pull up shallow when they fed and they want to digest. That warm water helps them process their food better.
Yeah.
And we will find a ton of fish in 10 foot or less that will not bite. And I can't help but think they've already fed and they're just up there kind of digesting and processing everything.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that's always intrigued me, talking to guys like you that fish for a living. You know, that's things that I had a good friend, Tony Pennybaker, down at Tewakinee, tell me, you know, you're talking about fishing under catfish, cormorant roost for catfish,
yes.
Chris. Well, I do know that they will eat the droppings of the cormorants. He told me, he said, you know what, Luke? Most of these catfish that I catch have a lot of green moss in them. And those fertilized trees are covered. If you get subsurface, they've got a ton of what we call moss on them. He said, I guarantee you, yeah, some of them eat the droppings.
Well, we call that the puree shad shake.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. Because all that green, but they also feed on that green moss. Why is the green moss there? Tony tells me, he says, well, think about it. It's fertilized. A lot of
that makes a lot of sense.
It does. Now, where do you learn that type of stuff, like you brought up, unless you're out there doing it? You know?
Yeah, that's, absolutely.
But I've through the years, I've learned a lot of, not only about fishing, but turkey hunting, deer hunting, and then I try to, when I pick up on a, you know, about the blind hog finding the acorn every now and then, when I come up with something, I'm quick to share it, you know?
Absolutely.
So jigs, okay, you're talking, what size jigs and what color?
Oh, so when you first pull into a pile or a tree, whatever structure you're fishing, you can catch 3 to 6 aggressive active fish. I call them the guard fish.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are looking for anything that comes by. They'll chase it. They'll hit it. We are fishing a 16th or a 32nd on light wind days. And that's what we're pitching at over the pile and they kind of slowly pendle them in.
Mm-hmm.
After we get our active fish, we'll either use an 1/8 ounce jig. And our best colors this time of year are anything shad. We use a lot of monkey milk. A lot of sausage gravy from Constant Pursuit Outfitters. We use anything that looks shad-like is very mm-hmm. good this time of the year. And then once we get our active, aggressive fish, we're going to straight minnows and pinch minnows.
Now, describe the pinch minnows. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so what I'll do is I will take that minnow and I'll pinch him behind the head right there at the gill plate. It's like the good Lord made a dotted line for him. His little head pops off. And, Luke, I kid you not, on those picky fish that do not want to bite, popping that minnow open and exposing that blood is like unwrapping a Snickers under their nose. They got to taste the caramel. They can't resist that minnow blood.
You know, that's like a blue catfish. I mean,
you can catch
all the channel cat you want to on punch bait, but if you're going for the blues, not they won't hit punch bait, but you open a shad up with your hook, you know, open him up and you know, I never thought about a crappie, but that makes sense because so many people are, you know, keen on the niblets, crappie niblets.
Absolutely,
so
absolutely.
They're going to feed by, that smell is going to trigger the bite too. So the hard-to-catch fish, that's even more attractive to the crappie than a live frisky minnow maybe, right?
We will have piles. We'll drop live minnows down and they will not touch it. And the second we set that minnow blood down there, we can light that whole pile up.
I've learned something new. I've honestly never intentionally done that. I fish with some dead minnows that might have been opened up, but another good tip. Chris, let's do this. I want people to, if you want to catch a bunch of crappie and have some fun, folks, at Cedar Creek Lake, southeast of Dallas, less than an hour, you need to talk to Chris. What's the best way to contact you, Chris?
Yeah, my number is 903-275-3253, or you can find me on Facebook at Chris Webb's Guide Service or Chris Webb.
Just Chris.
And I'll tell
Chris,
you, oh, go, yes, sir.
Chris Webb. We got you. Yep. Mm-hmm. What were you going to tell me?
If anybody calls and says they heard it on Luke's radio show, I'll give you $50 off for booking a trip.
Well, by golly, what a deal. Chris, thank you a lot for being with us, and we'll get you back. I like to, you know, give every couple of weeks or so, give a tip from you and let people figure out the best way to catch these crappie. Maybe next time we'll talk a little bit about cooler water sand bass. How about that?
Absolutely. Sounds good, buddy.
For about the past decade, I've been hunting editor for Air Gun Hobbyist magazine. I think the only magazine devoted strictly to air gun shooting and hunting in the country. Well, in that length of time, I've learned quite a bit about big bore air guns and smaller calibers, too. A spot to go to that if you're interested in air guns, you need to know about Pyramid Air. The website is PYRAMYD, pyramidair.com. They have anything and everything you need, from the guns themselves, the big bores or the smaller calibers, to the accessories. Just remember pyramidair.com, and there's a number when you get on the website if you need to call and talk to somebody, give them a buzz, and they can fill you in on little details that you might need to know about shooting or hunting with big bore air guns.